game again and wrestle, and we will. We can get our hands on you and the four horses. Stand tall of your body parts and rip them off one by one.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, I just went through the whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went two sentences and then went... All right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going through this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
Option one tonight with Sir Rockin' on the board. Running OWW Radio. I'm Alan Wojcik with Aaron Kendrick, who'll be joining us in a second. Busy week in the world of professional wrestling that we will get to. We'll talk about Monday Night Raw. We'll talk about ECW, NXT. We'll talk SmackDown. We'll talk everything else. But unfortunately, Aaron, this is one of those times that I hate. I hate that we have to open the show talking about a death in the wrestling community, and it hit us all Saturday morning. If you were online, we lost the wrestler who used to work for WWE, WCW, under the name of Chris Kanyon. Real name is Chris Klusardis, I believe is how it's pronounced, Aaron, and this sucks. I'm sorry to say this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that aren't aware of it, Chris passed away Friday night of an apparent overdose of pills in his apartment in the Sunnyside section of Queens, New York, at age 40. It's being believed to be a suicide. The Queens County medical people in New York City have not ruled it anything, doing the traditional toxicology stuff. And the sad part is that this is going to be one of those, everybody's like, oh, well, wrestling did it to him. Unfortunately, no, wrestling didn't do this to him, because as I'm feeling out, wrestling gave him what many in his friend circle is calling that he suffered from bipolar disorder and apparently had threatened suicide many times in the past. And Aaron and I both were looking at notes on this. A lot of his friends posted stuff on Twitter, Aaron, and you got some of these in front of you, too. And your thoughts on this, do you feel that everybody's going to be wrong in naming this another wrestling death, or what are your thoughts on this?
I do think it will eventually be called just another wrestling death, and they'll try and come up with something to talk bad about pro wrestling with it. And, you know, people just have to realize that he did suffer from a big disorder, and, you know, we'll never know if he was going through any kind of depression or anything at the moment when he did commit suicide. We can only speculate.
And that's the sad part, is that a lot of boards are going along going, oh, it's the coward's way out, and it's suicide, and we'll list plenty of information on where folks, if you want to get information on suicide hotlines and prevention and that kind of stuff, we'll list that here tonight. We will be having some guests tonight. We will be having Sir Oliver Humperdinck, the legendary manager who's a part of the Cauliflower Alley Club, the director of the Cauliflower Alley Club, Carl Lauer, who's been a previous guest with Nick and Aaron, will be on. But it's just one of those you want to at least talk about something like this. I don't know about Aaron, or I don't know about Sorokin or anybody else that's been involved, but I actually get to meet Chris Kanyon a few times after he left WCW and then left when WCW was purchased, and he worked for WWE for a while. He worked down here in Florida for a promotion called Elite Wrestling Entertainment that was run by Steve Madison and Buck Quartermain, and a little bit influenced by Steve Kern before he was full-time with WWE. And it's one of those, having an ex-fiance who is bipolar, unless you know it, you're never going to know it. You're never going to know that they're in that kind of situation. And like I said, we've had some tributes that were posted courtesy of Gerwack.net. People posted on their Twitter pages. Matt Hardy had posted, "A Cannon was always a really cool to me. Hate to hear the sad news. My best goes out to his family and loved ones." Hurricane Helms, RIP Chris Canyon. He was a good guy that helped a lot of people in the biz. Struggled a lot of problems, though. It was a sad day, but at least the struggle is over. He was a nutcase, good and bad, but I'll miss him nonetheless. RIP my friend. Billy Kidman had put something up saying that he had knew Chris for 15 years. And most fans will probably remember Chris as a member of the Jersey Triad tag team in WCW in the late 90s. They may remember him as Mortis, which was his role before they took him out of that and made the Who Better Than Cannon character. And it's sad to say, his one of his partners in that Jersey Triad's no longer here either. That would be the late Bam Bam Bigelow, who also passed away at a young age. And Aaron, like you said, this is a tough one to gauge because he came out in recent years. He came out saying that he was homosexual and was trying to do a gimmick where he was the first openly gay pro wrestler. And then he tried to garner, people said, oh, he's trying to garner publicity. The WWE fired him for being a homosexual. He worked once or twice for TNA where he came in during the time of Larry Zbyszko was battling with Raven, and he was brought in to wrestle Raven on one of the pay-per-views. And it's sad to say, and if anybody wants to talk about Canyon or talk about anybody that they knew in the business that has personal issues like this, don't be afraid to dial us up tonight. 888-357-9876. Option 1 is the way to get on the show tonight with Sir Rockin' at the board. And I mean, your thoughts on this, Aaron. This is unfortunately, in your 15 years of life, you've seen more wrestlers pass away than I think wrestle, dude.
Yeah, and that's really unfortunate. I mean, the first death that I really knew was going on and really noticed was Owen Hart. I mean, I can remember whenever I found out about Owen Hart. I had been watching him for a few years, and that was whenever I first started realizing that, you know, wrestling can be very real at times.
And that is the sad part. When I said everyone goes, "Oh, wrestling is fake," it's like, well, yeah, you're dealing with that, but you have to deal with, as Roddy Piper once said on Real Sports with Brian Gumble, you deal with the sickness of. You get into that cycle, at least in the 80s. I don't know how it was in the modern time of, you know, you take pills to go to sleep, take pills to wake up, you do this, you do that. I doubt that's what Cannon was going through. But as I said, since he's been out of the business, you know, not much has really been said about him other than I think Courier Scott found a piece. If you go to our the forums, OWW Genesis, I think they found a piece where he appeared on Logo, which is a TV network geared towards the gay, lesbian, bisexual community, where he had talked about finding out his feelings about being a homosexual and being homosexual in the wrestling business. And I'm coming back to the same thing, Aaron, I'm sorry I'm doing it, is that it's hard to say, oh, the wrestling business did this to him. Because if you listen to Cannon talk in that piece, he's basically, you know, he was struggling with being a homosexual or bisexual or whatever. Not the way that Orlando Jordan is right now, because Orlando Jordan's trying to make a ton of money doing it.
Yeah.
But that seems to be the main issue here. Everybody's going to obviously poo-poo it and go, oh, the wrestling business did this to Chris Cannon. It's hard to gauge. It's hard to say. You can go to our website, onlineworldofwrestling.com, and go under the forum, the Genesis forum, if you want to leave some information, leave some notes for yourself on Chris Canyon. This is not the way that Aaron and I wanted to open the show tonight. We wanted to talk, obviously. We wanted to talk about the ratings war. We wanted to talk about the new World Heavyweight Champion, which we'll be addressing in our next segment. But if you do know someone who is dealing with depression and you know someone that you feel something's not right, there's some places you can call. You can call 1-800-SUICIDE, which is a suicide prevention number that you can dial anywhere in the United States 24 hours a day. It's 800-784-2433. Then there's also 800-273-8255. I know when I was in school, granted a long time ago, there's plenty of student counselors out there. I'm sure Aaron sees it in his high school, junior high school every day. And
oh, yeah.
Don't be one of these closet people like, oh, it's bad for me to talk about myself, but you don't want to be another statistic is how I look at it. And I'm sorry to end it on this light, Aaron, but we're going to take a quick break and come back on OWW Radio, and we'll get into the news of the week. But first, we're going to take this time out on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
Now, the online world of wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloodfest, All-Time Pose, What If, Fair or Foul, even a eFed called Takedown. More? Okay, OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay. You'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forum. It's the gold standard. So, okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
Thursday night, Wild Talk Radio Network becomes the place where anything goes. Prepare to be sinful. Thursday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Maverick here.
Professional, realist,
genius. You know, I've been hearing what those pricks on WTR have said about me, and you know what? I think it's out of jealousy that I've ran a clean show for as long as I have.
I'm basically giving them free publicity off of the internet, and all I get is...
Fuck Mav. Oh well, to hell with it. If you want an opinion that's realistic without so many four-letter words, then tune in for Running the Rope. Every Friday, right here, exclusively... on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You see that? That's called professionalism, bitches.
Well, well, well. It is I, the quintessential stud muffin, Joel Gertner, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
(888-357-9876) Option 1 tonight. You dial that, you will get the most awesome Sir Rockin'. OWW Radio is back. I'm Alan Wojcik with Aaron Kendrick. Nick Anthony has the night off due to his work schedule. And it looked like in the news segment, we're going to open it as we always do. I was really hoping we'd see a super big rebound and turn here, Aaron, but Surprisingly, WWE won the ratings again last night with a 3.2 over TNA's 0.9. And
yeah,
that's the funny part, is that the week before, the immortal Hulk Hogan was nowhere to be seen on the show. So he used to pull this in WCW back in the day, where he would disappear and then the NBA playoffs would be on and he'd come back and the numbers would go up and they're like, oh brother, that's because I'm back. I was like, no, because they had nothing to watch for a couple weeks there, Terry. They're all watching the basketball thing. Last night, I'm surprised that WWE even did a 3.2, because you had that dancing show that everybody seems to talk about. And you also had one of the best NCAA finals in at least the last 10 years, that it was a rim shot away from the Butler Bulldogs being the NCAA champs. And I openly admit, I taped Raw, I taped Impact, DVR'd for a little while, then went in the other room and watched the basketball game. And I'm kind of glad I did, because, Aaron, if you and everyone else want to learn a lesson here tonight, we're going to teach you something neat in the world of wrestling. You don't have to pin anybody or make them submit to become a champion. All you got to do, kids, is be one of the lucky four people to win lock keys to a briefcase thing and open the right box, and you too can become the TNA Knockouts Heavyweight Champion. And that's how Angelina Love won the belt, folks. She didn't go out and make Tara submit. She didn't go out and put on a 5-star Bryan Danielson versus Jushin Thunder Liger match.
Definitely
she got lucky. She got lucky and pulled the title out of a briefcase. So Vince Russo, Ed Ferrar, and the other writer on the show are basically telling you, in case you didn't realize, that dumbass, championships don't matter anymore. They're just like belts that you put around your waist. And does this disgust you, Aaron? Does this disgust you, listeners, that a championship belt wasn't determined? According to Soraka, the briefcase reveal is the second highest rated segment on the show? Okay. But, I mean, does this disgust you? I mean, obviously, you know, John Cena lost the belt at a pay-per-view being put through a table by Sheamus, but that was part of the match. Here, Tara didn't get pinned. Yeah, I got my spider back, but I lose my title that way? What do you think, Aaron? I mean, what are your thoughts on this? Be honest. You have an open mic to talk to, man.
Well, I think that title matches need to be... I'm pretty old school on this. I think title matches need to be the long... 20-30 minute matches, not some short 30 second match, like a WrestleMania 9. And, apparently the first highest rated moment of the night was the actual match. So I guess people disagree with me. If you do, you can call in, the number.
It looks
and,
like we got someone on
yeah.
the line. Wow. Hello, caller. Welcome to WWE Radio.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Okay, what's your name? Where are you calling from, man?
This is Horseman for Life. I'm calling from Ohio.
Oh. Hey, man, what's going on? You happen to watch this car wreck of wrestling last night?
No, I don't watch much car wrecks of wrestling lately.
Okay.
But I agree with what was being said. I'm kind of old school also. I think a tribal should change hands in the ring with a pin or submission outright. But to be honest, hearing how this title changed hands with the girls, I'm not surprised, I'm not upset, I'm not shocked, because that's just how wrestling is in this day and age. I mean, you had the SmackDown title change hands from, getting beat up, and it lasts 6 seconds. I mean, what does that say, about the title they're representing there? It doesn't matter.
Well, over there, I'm sorry to interrupt you for a second there, but on
right.
that situation, which we're going to address in a moment here, you led us where we were going to go next with Aaron and myself, and you can join this conversation, too, at 888-357-9876 and option one. With Jack Swagger winning the championship, dude, that's a given. You're the Money in the Bank winner. I'm going to wait. Aaron's going to wait. Sir Rockin's going to wait. Tim Stein's going to wait. My 17-month-old is going to wait till the champ's in the worst situation possible, and thanks to Edge, we've got a new world heavyweight champion, But how is it different, and I'm going to lead back to your question and your point, how is it any different than what any of the other Money in the Bank people did? Edge won the belt twice that way. He won the belt by cashing in on the champion, knocked that crap out. The first time he did it was at one of the, I think it was New Year's Revolution, where Cena had wrestled the entire match, and then he got the belt.
Yeah.
It isn't any different, and that's the point I was leading to. It just shows that titles are useless. I mean, we already know now, because of what has always happened, every time someone wins Money in the Bank, someone's going to wait till a champion gets beat up, he's going to cash in, he's going to win the belt in 2 minutes or less.
Unless you're Kennedy and you lose your shot.
That ruins building it up.
Yeah, and I like how they said that every Money in the Bank winner is cashed in. No, they didn't. Kennedy got hurt and lost his shots, I think it was to Edge on a Monday Night Raw, and then that Friday, he went to SmackDown and took out the Taker. So, according to The Rock, and he pulled up some information for us, and we appreciate him for that, the overrun was a .97 in the knockout of the knockouts open in the box. He said the quarter number three, which was Jeff Hardy saving Rob Van Dam, then Rude attacking Hardy, and Rob Terry versus Homicide, was a .98. Now, you got to remember, folks, they were unopposed by WWE for the entire first hour last night. They went with the old version of WCW Nitro being the first hour unopposed, and they still didn't win. Is this a sign? Do you think, Sir Horseman for Life, is this a sign of things to come that I want to call them WCW TNA, and I don't know why, because it feels like that. And as a fan, are you sitting there going, I like this split where I got an hour unopposed and I don't have to channel surf?
Actually, the split doesn't make much difference to me. Like I said, I get most information on what happens through reading, or I watch it on the DVR in fast-forward mode. I mean, I thought TNA had a chance when they first started doing all this, but just going back to what WCW did, was Hogan being in charge of what Hogan wants to do, and no offense, Hogan doesn't have a clue of how to be in charge and get someone else over other than himself.
Oh, no.
And that's just killing TNA outright.
Sure, we're going to have conversations like that. We appreciate the call. We're going to go ahead and let you go because we got a couple more news items to hit before we get with Sir Oliver Humperdinck. One of the other issues that came up, and we'll address the Jack Swagger situation in a minute. If you were watching TNA last night, you probably noticed a certain X Division wrestler not there, and that's because he showed up at Ring of Honor's Big Dang pay-per-view, which was an internet-geared pay-per-view. That's right, the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels, was released this week and reappeared doing the Fallen Angel gimmick, and I believe it happened during the Davey Richards-Kenny King match, but somewhere along the line, he got involved with Davey Richards. And from what we've been told, this pay-per-view is actually really well done with only one title changing hands, and that's a favorite of ours here, the Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli, the Kings of Wrestling, are your new ROH World Tag Team Champions, defeating the Briscoes. Tyler Black held on to his belt, defeating Roderick Strong and Austin Aries in a triple threat elimination. What do you think? I mean, you're a viewer of ROH, Aaron. I watch every so often. Do you like the idea of them doing this internet pay-per-view thing? Do you think this is a way to go, considering their regular-based pay-per-views didn't hit it off so great? I'm going to defer to you, because you're more of a Ring of Honor person than I am right now.
Actually, I've always been a pretty big fan of the internet-style pay-per-views. I mean, WWE tried it with the Taboo Tuesday and the Cyber Sunday, and I believe ECW used to have a pay-per-view called Cyber Slam or something along those lines.
I think you're right. I think it was Cyber Slam.
Yeah, I mean, I just think it's a pretty good concept, and it really does bring the fans in. I don't know if they had voting for each and every one of the matches. I'm not sure about that, but and Cyber Slam was the internet convention pay-per-view, I believe. So
exactly.
And
this might be something that we see in the future from Ring of Honor. And from what we were told, it was a very entertaining pay-per-view, and unfortunately I was at a show that Wrestling for a Cause and Pro Wrestling Fusion put on, so I wasn't able to appear, be able to get online and see this show. But so you would be more adept to buy an internet pay-per-view than to spend the money $50. Like, I mean, I'm not really sure. Anybody knows, anybody that happened to watch the show, email us in, Skype us, email, IM us, whatever you call in. Let us know what you thought of this show. We're going to be eventually having on the legendary Sir Oliver Humperdinck, but while we're waiting for Sir Oliver Humperdinck, what are your thoughts on Christopher Daniels being released, fans? And Aaron and me, we'll both put our 2 cents in here. If you want to join us, 888-357-9876, option 1 tonight with the amazing Sir Rockin' on the board. Are you sitting there, Aaron, going, damn, he's gone? Are you sitting there going, cool, he's going to get play in ROH now?
Well, it's obviously a big loss for TNA because Daniels had serious potential to be one of their world champions and lead the company. That's one of my beliefs. And, I mean, Alan, you've been in the company, so you must know what kind of pull he had around there. I mean, can you explain what the deal was, why he never got a push?
I think it was probably along the lines of he was older than... And for fans who don't remember it, one of the best TNA matches in the history of the company was Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels versus Samoa Joe versus AJ Styles for the X Division title. I believe it was Unbreakable 2005.
Yeah.
Their pay-per-views, the names just blend together. I mean, maybe there was an age factor involved. I don't know. But, I mean, off of that match in 2005, you saw the emergence of Samoa Joe. You saw the emergence of AJ Styles. But that's the funny part. Everybody will go, oh, well, he was stale, he was old. But he had been with the company since 2002 on and off, because when he was with Triple X, with Low-Key and Alex Skipper for a while, either one of the three of them were going over to work in Japan, so you had a freshness there. And then, oh, well, the people will go, oh, well, he shouldn't have done Curry Man, and, you know, Curry Man was stupid, and, you know, he lost the Feast or Fired, man. What else is he going to do? In a way, it does hurt the company, I feel, because, like I said, he was one of those workhorse guys. He could wrestle my hockey stick and have an awesome match with it. And it's a shame, but in the same breath, maybe Kerry Silkin or Ring of Honor are going to rebuild the prophecy around him. Who knows? Maybe that was the thing. Once they took away the quote-unquote fallen angel aspect of his character, that's when I felt it was like, okay, who is he now? I was just Daniels. And it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's just weird, because they did, Frankie the Future Kazarian, and next thing you know, he's just Kazarian. It's like, our first name's illegal in this company? I mean, what the heck? 888-357-9876, option 1 is the way to join us here tonight. As mentioned, we'll be having Carl Lauer. He's been a previous guest of ours with Cauliflower Alley Club, which is a wonderful organization. If you want to look them up online, you want to Google search them. They're having their convention in a couple weeks, and our Nick Anthony will be there on site. Last year, I believe, I was told, because I wasn't here, Aaron, that we were the only radio show, internet or radio-wise, to get full access to this event.
Wow.
Now, that's pretty far out. We're going to go ahead and go to break. We're going to be waiting for Sir Oliver Humperdinck to join us. 888-357-9876, option 1 is the way to join us. We'll be back on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Tannen, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. Clickwrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 the purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere.
the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indies,
yes.
All this and more can be found on one site, the Zero Set, whenever they wrestle. Head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's worth away, with every single page shot full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Fiction,
Nick Foley,
plus the most definitive sports for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the thing that grows you. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This is Mace, the man who cannot cut a promo to save his life. Come check me out on Otaku Talk Live, where I kick it up with Bug and Omega. Tuesdays, 11 p.m, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now maybe the bastards have put me on the opening.
At option one. You've been waiting for him, folks. This week, OWW Radio is pleased to present a man who has had a career. I'm amazed to say this. It has been over 45 years. He has been here in Florida with Florida Championship Wrestling. He was a part of the Crockett Promotions, the NWA. And if you're a fan of the World Wrestling Federation, we're not going to call them entertainment. We're going to call them what they were. They were the World Wrestling Federation in the 80s. You saw them. He's one of those people, fans, and Aaron, and everyone that's listening, you see him, and you immediately remember the name, the legend, Sir Oliver Humperdinck, joining us here on OWW Radio.
Well, thanks, guys. I appreciate that great intro. I don't know if I can follow that.
Oh, we'll give it a shot here. I mean, for fans,
we have 30 minutes to try.
Yeah,
we'll give it a shot.
As we had mentioned earlier in the evening, we had... You're going to be a part of the Cauliflower Alley Club stuff, and we'll also address this later with Carl Lauer. But as someone that's been in the business as long as you have, what are your feelings on that organization as itself and what it does? Can you explain to fans that aren't aware of it what Cauliflower Alley Club even is?
Okay, well, Cauliflower Alley Club is a club that was started back in the I think it was the 60s or early 70s. This is the 45th anniversary coming up in a couple of weeks here. But it's a benevolent association for past wrestlers, boxers, and movie people. And Mike Mazurki started it, like I said, 45 years ago. And the guys would get together, once a week or once a month and have dinner and stay in touch that way, you know. And like I said, it's the 45th year this year. And it's a great organization. They're I'm not sure what you call it, tax-wise. It's what do you call it? I'm drawing a blank here. At any rate, it's a benevolent association, too. They'll help wrestlers that are having a hard time right now, which is a great thing, you know? And it gives all of us a chance to meet and see each other once again every year. And there's been guys I've met over my going to Cauliflower Alley that I hadn't seen for 25 or 30 years in some cases, you know. So it's a really great organization, and it's $25 a year to join. Really, really reasonable. You get printed newsletters throughout the year, and then, of course, as a member, you're invited to come out to Las Vegas and be at the big awards banquet that we do every year.
Oliver,
you've never been out there or no?
Neither one of us have. Our normal co-host, Nick Anthony, has. He was there last year, and I believe he's going to be there this year. So he's if we talk to him next week, we'll make sure he is forced by gunpoint to walk up to you and say, "I'm sorry, sir, I missed the interview with you that I scheduled."
Well, he better, or else I'll find him somehow. But anyway, you guys need to come out to put on the bucket list before too long, and come out and join us one year. It's always in Las Vegas, and we just have a great time. Gives us a chance to see old buddies and meet our fans, and it's a great weekend.
Now, exactly how long have you been involved with the CAC?
I first joined, I think, about 2003, something like that.
Well, can you share some of your favorite memories?
Of the wrestling business or of Cauliflower Alley?
No, the CAC.
Cauliflower Alley? Well, you know, I had heart surgery myself back in 2001.
Yeah.
And they were kind enough to send me a check, you know, to help with the living expenses at the time. So right after that, you know, I joined the club, and I've been with them ever since. And, you know, it's just great to get together. I mean, you spend so much of your life with these guys up and down the road, you know, and all. And then, your time in the spotlight is over, and you never see them again, you know. So it's great to get together once a year and see all your old buddies, you know. And back in the day, you know, we couldn't talk to fans as a heel, you know. And it's just nice to be able to talk to people now, and they're always so kind, you know, and they always mention things that, quite frankly, I've had people mention to me things that I forgot about in my career, you know. So it's always a great pleasure to mix and mingle with the fans, too, you know.
Yeah.
If you want to mix and mingle with the legendary Sir Oliver Humperdinck, don't be afraid to dial in 888-357-9876, option 1, and Sir Rockin' will get you in the rotation. For someone that's been in the business as long as you have, are you a fan of the current product of WWE and TNA, or do you not even watch any of the current stuff?
Well, I do watch. I do watch the WWE. I think they do a terrific job, you know. It's a lot different than it was, but that's progress, I guess, you know. It's the way the business naturally evolved. And I still watch, but I don't watch TNA, but I watch Vince's product.
Oliver, you spent time in the short-lived AWF. They had some pretty big stars. They had Tito Santana, Tony Atlas, Sergeant Slaughter, and many other big names. Can you tell those who've never heard of it a little bit about the American Wrestling Federation, and why do you feel it failed?
Well, it was, I believe, in the early 90s that they tried this project. And the big difference between that and other promotions at the time was that they used the round system,
yes,
instead of falls. And I think it was kind of confusing to, you know, to take a concept like professional wrestling and kind of go that way with it. You know, where in Europe and that, it's very common to have rounds in wrestling, in Britain and things like that. But the American audience is accustomed to pinfalls and submissions, and I don't think the concept just really got over with the people, you know. It was very tough to work a match like that too. To get a little head of steam going, then have to stop it, you know, because the round ended, then you have to pick it up all over again and build it rather than just wrestling for 20-25 minutes, you know. You had all these stops and starts, which was very hard to do, you know.
I had mentioned to
you
some of the
people.
You follow
what I'm saying?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we totally understand it. Yeah. I was at a show this past weekend here in Tampa, Florida, with a company called Pro Wrestling Fusion, and some of the folks like Ron Nene and the FloridaWrestlingFans.com board, as soon as I mentioned that I was having Sir Oliver Humperdinck on the show, they were like, "Oh God, we used to go to the Armory to see him. We used to go all over the places."
Yeah.
What was in your you came into the business unlike the way a lot of the people are nowadays. You went territory to territory. Talk about the legend of championship wrestling from Florida and the Graham family and then eventually we'll compare it to other areas of the country. But talk about how you got into Florida, the time frame you were here, and what that...
Okay.
And this was like the hotbed of wrestling for... I tell these guys all the time, and they go, oh, we're sick hearing about Florida. And I was like, really? Lester Oliver Humper can tell you about Florida.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the first time, our first stint in there was 1974. We had been in, when I'm talking we, it was myself, Buddy Roberts, and Jerry Brown, who wrestled as the Hollywood Blondes. And we had a very successful run-up in Quebec, in Montreal, for Grand Prix Wrestling in 1973. And when that territory closed up, which it did every winter, because a lot of those buildings up there were hockey arenas, so they just closed the territory down in the wintertime and run spring to fall. So when fall came around in 73, we were looking for a place to go, and we called Eddie Graham and Florida Championship Wrestling, you know, in Tampa, and they had a spot for us. So we went there the first time in 1974, and of course that was a pivotal year for Florida wrestling, in that Dusty Rhodes turned babyface for the first time. It was, during that tenure that we were there, too. It was myself and the Hollywood Blondes, and Jerry Hart had his army there at the same time. So it was a very pivotal time in Florida history. And I loved it there. It was great. I mean, Tampa, Florida is the greatest town in the world. And we were there before, you know, they had the Bucks, you know. We were the biggest thing in town, you know. We were like... superstars or movie stars back then, you know, and it was great. I mean, you know, Tampa was beautiful, sunshine, the trips were short, money, you know, at times was good. It was just the perfect place to be.
In the result,
and Eddie Graham, let me just talk about Eddie Graham for a second.
Yes, sir.
He was a genius. The man was the smartest man I'd ever been around. Up to that point and after that point. He was a pure genius. He knew the wrestling business backwards and forwards. He'd give you a finish, you know, and tell you, like, maybe the last 10 minutes of what he wanted. And you'd be scratching your head wondering, why did he have me do that in that finish, you know? But then next week you'd come back and you'd see the natural progression, you know. It was all part of a storyline. He didn't necessarily tell you where he was going with it, but the following week or driving home that night, you'll go, that's why he had me do that. You know, he's just a genius. So I was very happy to be around him and absorb some of that knowledge, you know.
Guys, if you want to get in on this conversation and talk to Sir Oliver Humper Dink, the number is 888-357-9876, and tonight it's option one. Oliver, you
were...
It's
always good to be the first option, you know.
Yeah, exactly. You were with Jim Crockett Promotions during the time of the transition to Turner. How was the atmosphere in the locker room during that period?
I only got the last part of the question. I was getting beeps on this end.
Oh.
In audio. Repeat it.
Okay. You were with Jim Crockett Promotions during the time of the transition to Turner. How was the atmosphere in the locker room during that period?
When it was Crockett Promotions, it was, you know, the spirit was good. The guys were happy. When it started going downhill for me was after they sold, when Ted sold out to AOL Time Warner. And they had, suits trying to tell wrestling people how to run a wrestling show, you know. But when I worked for Jim Crockett Promotions, it was great, you know. The Crocketts were very, very good to me over the years, and I enjoyed working for them.
You mentioned that you were a fan of the current WWE product, and I'm 35, so I grew up in the era of you with the legendary Bam Bam Bigelow. How was it that you became part of the WWF at the time? And was it a situation where you knew Scott Bigelow, or was it they paired the two of you together? Give fans an idea of how that partnership came to be.
Well, I had not known him prior to the time. I might have seen him on TV or heard his name or something, but I wasn't really familiar with them, you know. And I might have been between territories at the time, but I think I recall being in Minneapolis where I lived, my home. And I was called by the WWF, and they were doing TV in, geez, was it Eau Claire, Wisconsin, or someplace over there in Wisconsin, and wanted me to come down and meet this guy and take a look at him. And you know, they let me know what they wanted, you know. So I go down there to the TV that Vince was having, and I met Scott, and they, you know, told us what they wanted to do and all that. And, geez, I miss Scott tremendously. He was a great talent, you know, a good friend. And I miss him terrifically.
Now, I'm going to try and change turns a little bit. Rumor has it that whenever you came into the WWF, you didn't really like playing the role of the babyface. Now, why exactly do you feel more comfortable playing a heel?
I had been a heel my entire career. At that point, 87, I had been in the business 15 years prior to that as a heel, you know. Mm-hmm. And I had a lot of press out as a heel and all that. And just by looking at me, I'm a natural heel, you know. People don't like me. They can look at me, and they hate me already. They don't even know me. They hate me, you know. So I thought it was a totally different. I did have a little run as a babyface in Florida when Dusty and I did that thing where I had to be his valet. But, you know, that was just a short-term thing. Maybe I think we did it about a month or 6 weeks, something like that. But it was very different for me to be in that babyface role trying to get people to like me, especially when the only knowledge they have of me is what was in the magazines or what they saw out of Florida and Mid-Atlantic and stuff like that, you know. So it was a very tough role for me to play.
Was it tough to, we've heard many a story from
other
wrestlers.
I could see, excuse me, I didn't want to interrupt
Sorry.
You, but I could see going in there as a heel team, you know, me and Bammer as heels.
Right.
But to go in there and try to establish yourself as a baby face was a much tougher thing for me to do, you know.
Yep. In case you're just joining us and going, I know that voice. Why do I know that voice? That's the voice of the legendary Sir Oliver Humperdinck. He's been joining us here on OWW Radio. You mentioned how you came into WWF at the time. You came in at a time where the business was booming. You guys came in after WrestleMania 3, which did 900 million people. Oh, listen, since you're talking to, and if Vince McMahon had his way, he would say that every person ever born was at WrestleMania 3. And you were at the height
and
of
the giant slam the 500-pound giant.
Exactly.
The whole thing, you know.
You were in at a time where there wasn't a Raw or a SmackDown. You guys did the Primetime Wrestling and Superstars Wrestling Challenge shows. Talk about that travel.
Saturday Night Main Event.
I've heard stories from people like Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda and all these other people that said that the WWF was the travel schedule from hell. Talk about the fact of you were in the beginning of the action figure craze. Is there an Oliver Humperdinck action figure somewhere?
There is not.
What?
I was in talks with, what's the name of that toy company that was doing them for the WWF?
Probably
not doing them anymore, but
I'm not sure who was doing their dolls.
Place out in California. Anyway, I had a deal with them. Never went through. But there's no doll or anything like that. But talking about the schedule, I was telling somebody the other day, our schedule was 3 weeks on the road and 3 days off.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And, it got towards the end of my run there. It got so that I'd sit up, when I'd wake up in the morning, I'd sit straight up in bed, look at the clock and wonder where the hell I had to be, you know. It was really a tough schedule. I remember one time we wrestled in Syracuse. The next night we were in San Diego, and the third night we were back on the East Coast, somewhere in Connecticut or something like that. It was truly coast to coast, you know.
Now, many people have said that, like, someone who had recently passed away, like Scott Bigelow passed away a couple of years ago, and people like Road Warrior, At Hawk, and it may be attributed to Chris Canyon, may not be attributed to it, that Roddy Piper had always talked about, and I got to interview Roddy a couple of years ago at a Eddie Guerrero memorial event, which was surreal to be sitting here like it is surreal to sit here with you. You've heard all these stories about the quote-unquote sickness and that the business does all these horrible things to people. As someone who's, I mean, you're here. You're talking to us after being in the business close to, I believe, if I did my math right, 30, 40 years. What are your thoughts?
I'm here, but it was no thanks to me.
Oh, okay.
Put it that way.
Well, when someone like when everything went down with Chris Benoit and everything, every TV figurehead came on, like Nancy Grace and Bill O'Reilly, and said, oh, the wrestling business did this to everybody. Bad business, bad, bad, bad. What are your thoughts as someone who's been in the business as long as you have when people say that, oh, the business did this to them, or like the fan argument that Vince would say, oh, well, it's the person that's doing it because I'm not forcing them to take these pills and these drugs and everything. And I'll let you go ahead and get your point, sir.
Well, the thing is, wrestling is a seductress. You know, once you've been in the ring, and once you've been able to take people's emotions and control them, you know, make them stand up when you want to, sit down when you want to, get mad enough to want to kill you, you know. Once you taste that, it's hard to get out of your system. Whether or not the business kills people, I don't think the wrestling business kills people. I think what people choose to do with all the opportunities that the wrestling business presents to them, that's what kills people. Hello?
888-357-9876, option one. We got a couple minutes left here. If you want to join in with Sir Oliver Humperdinck.
Are they afraid to call in or what?
I don't know. For some reason, when Nick Anthony's on, these people call in, sir. And when I'm here with Aaron, we've had people on that they just don't want anything to do with me. It's like, okay, am I like too nice a person? Do I need to call you some jabroni heads or something? During your time with WCW, Sir Oliver Humperdinck went away, and a character known as Big Daddy Dink came in. Who was the...
Yeah, he was something, huh?
Where did Big Daddy Dink come from? Was that your idea? Was that Jim Hurd? Was that a writer? How did Big Daddy Dink come into play, and did you like
it? It was not my idea, believe me. This was during a time period when Vince was, bringing guys in and totally changing their gimmick, you know. Well, some guys you can do that to and get away with it. And in fact, in some cases, it's for the better, you know. But in my case, I don't think it was to switch me from Sir Oliver Humperdinck to Big Daddy Dink. I don't know. I see what they might have been thinking, where the character Big Daddy Dink would have fit in better with the rock and roll star of Freebirds type thing, you know. And, you know, if that's what they were thinking, you know, I could maybe see that. But I don't know. I thought Sir Oliver fit in with, you know, I've had Samoan Savages and, The Sheik, Abdullah the Butcher, I've had them all, you know. So I don't know if the gimmick change was necessary. I think they were going for something that was more compatible with the Freebirds, a rock and roll type image thing, you know. But anyway, I thought Sir Oliver could have done it too, but they wanted to have Big Daddy Dink, so we gave him Big Daddy Dink.
And Oliver, you just brought up a couple of pretty big names. I mean, other names that you've managed. You managed Bam Bam, as we mentioned, Paul Orndorff, Bruiser
yep.
Brody, Superstar Billy Graham, Abdullah the Butcher. I mean, the list goes on. Is there any...
I've been very lucky over the years to get some, get a lot of great main event talent. These guys that I worked with over the years, you know, it's the who's who of
mm-hmm.
of wrestling, you know. I was very, very lucky over the years.
Is there any one person or team that really just sticks out in your mind and you're really proud of to have managed?
That'd be like asking a father what his favorite kid is, or which one is the favorite kid, you know. I couldn't do that. I had each one of them brought something new to the table.
Each one was a new experience. A lot of them, you know, was a second or third time or more that I had managed them, you know, but every time it was a different level and different direction. And I don't think I could pick a favorite. I could, you know, certainly pick guys I'd rather be in the corner of, but I won't do that, you know. There were some real duds that I managed over the years. Hello.
We want to thank you very much for joining us tonight, Sir Oliver Humperdinck. Hopefully, like we said, we're going to twist Nick Anthony's arm and make him go over and talk to you. And if he doesn't, you can just wander around Las Vegas screaming, Nick Anthony, where are you?
I'll find him. I'll find him. I'll guarantee you I'll find him.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Thanks, fellas. Hey, listen, I appreciate it. Let's plug that Cauliflower Alley. You got Carl Lauer coming up, right?
Yep.
Have you got Carl coming up tonight?
Yep, Carl's going to be on after the break, so thank you very much.
Okay, just let me hit the dates then. The dates are April 19, 20, and 21. Sapphire event, 45th anniversary of Cauliflower Alley Club. The Gold Coast Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas is the location. And if you're not a member, it's $25 a year. When are you going to be out? Come on down and join us sometime. It's going to be a great time. I look forward to seeing everybody in Las Vegas in about less than 2 weeks.
All right. You heard it from the man, Sir Oliver Humperdinck. When we come back after this break, we will have the executive director of the Cauliflower Alley Club, Mr. Carl Lauer, on. This is OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloodfest, All Time Polls, What If, Fair or Foul, even a eFed called Takedown. More? Okay, OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay, you'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forum. It's the gold standard! So, okay, that one hurt it. That one hurt it.
Hey everyone, this is Phil Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of the...
Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday night, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
Hey everyone, this is the original voice of wrestling, Jim Stein. Catch me talking sense about the WWE, TNA, and the rest on the real voice of professional wrestling talk, Wrestle Talk Radio, Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
888-357-7676. Option 1 is the way to get involved with us here tonight on OWW Radio. Alan Wojcik with Aaron Kendrick. In case you're just joining us, you're going, oh man, what I missed. You already missed the legend, Sir Oliver Humperdinck, and you need to surrender one of your man cards to us because you just lost one. And we're not done with the Cauliflower Alley Club organization because we are right now joined by I'm sorry if I get his titles wrong because he's got a lot of them. At one point he was the business manager of the organization. He's the chairman of the board. He's the executive vice president. He is the one and only Carl Auer. Welcome to OWW Radio, sir.
Well, thank you guys for having me on. I always like the opportunity to talk about the club.
Yeah, and for fans that aren't aware of it, you've been a guest before with Nick Anthony. We apologize isn't here this week, but he will be at the convention from what we were told. Just give fans like myself who I'm familiar with the organization, how did you become a part of Cauliflower Alley Club? And if you want, give a little insight. Sir Oliver Humperdinck gave a little bit of insight, but from someone that actually runs the day-to-day operations, give a sense to the fans of what Cauliflower Alley Club is.
Well, we're primarily really a benevolent organization. We have nobody paid in the club, including myself. And our primary function is to get together once a year and have a good reunion, not a fan fest, but a reunion. And a benevolent fund is there to help guys. We've done things, everything from taking care of the funeral for Gorgeous George to buying a hand-operated vehicle for a wrestler that lost both legs and putting ramps in a home for a wrestler that was paralyzed, things of that nature. And we have a scholarship fund, young guys coming out of high school with good grades and that wrestled for 3 or 4 years in high school. We have a scholarship fund to help them in their first year of college. So that's really primarily what it's all about. It has changed over the years. When I became a member in 1979, it required 2 members to sponsor you and to vouch for you in order to even get in the club. Plus, you had to be actually active or retired from the wrestling, boxing, or movie business. There were no fans allowed at all, unless you were a fan that married a wrestler, so to speak.
Carl, what exactly got you interested in the CAC? What really got you into the process?
Well, what really got me going was my partner was Gory Guerrero. Most of you old-timers will remember who Gory was. That was the father of Eddie, Mondo, Hector, and Chavo. Gory and I were partners. We were promoting professional wrestling in Los Angeles, running 4 arenas weekly throughout the L.A., San Bernardino, Orange County areas. And Gory was a very close friend of Lou Thesz. And Lou Thesz was going to be a special guest one afternoon for Mike Mazurki at one of the lunches. But back in them days, we used to run weekly meetings, lunches, at the Old Spaghetti Factory, Hollywood Roosevelt, different places, but always in the Hollywood area. And Gory said, hey, you got to go with me. You got to meet Lou Thesz. Well, needless to say, I'd be like a cat in a seafood store to have a chance to meet Lou Thesz. And so I went and met Mike Mazurki, and they asked me, they knew my business background because wrestling wasn't my business. My business was manufacturing, and I owned a travel agency and an import business. And he said, we need someone that's got a business background to help get this club growing and going. And so that's how they kind of hooked me into it, in Lou Thesz and Mike Mazurki, who was probably one of the finest gentlemen the world ever produced. And so I started off right away almost like a business manager, you know.
888-357-9876. Option 1 tonight is the way to get involved with OWW Radio. I'm Alan Wojcik with Ann Kendrick with Carl Auer, who is a part of CauliflowerAlleyClub.org is the way you can find out all the information on the events that we've been talking about tonight with Sir Oliver Humperdinck earlier and Carl Auer. This is a weekend that's built around a lot of interesting functions. And if you go on the website, it looks like there's basically, it almost looks like you're going to what my generation would consider like a comic book convention type atmosphere where you're going to seminars and meeting and stuff. Talk about this idea. How did these seminars even come to be, and give an idea of the fans what they're going to see during this event?
Well, a couple of years ago, you know, we tried to run wrestling shows, and our legal department said, no, you can't have wrestling shows. It just leaves things too wide open for lawsuits and so forth. So Gabe Ramirez, who runs Pro Wrestling Revolution, last year put on a great show. He brought his people in there, totally separate of us, but in the same location. And this year, the hotel kind of gave him a hard time as far as insurance goes. So last year, we started with seminars. And because we had a lot of the young wrestlers that did a show on Monday night, they really wanted to get a chance to meet the legends, the old-timers, the guys that have been around a long time, and learn from them. So we asked the guys, hey, would you do a 1 or 2 hour seminar? And Ted DiBiase, Harley Race, Billy Graham, just a bunch of us got up and we did multiple two-hour seminars on special topics. Everything, I did a seminar along with Nick Bockwinkel and Dale Gagne on the perils of independent promoters. Me from years ago and these guys from current. And Nick Bockwinkel talked about working with the independents as a former champion. And then Harley Race and Ted DiBiase gave a seminar on how to establish a facade and create a long-running relationship with fans. And we just had a variety of seminars, and it went over so big that everybody had a little form to fill out. Did you like it? Did you get something from it? And we asked them to grade everybody from 9 to 10, and with the exception of one presenter, but I won't name that particular person, everybody was 9 to 10. These young wrestlers just got a great deal out of the seminars and asked if we would make it a habit. And so it became a permanent part this year. We've got some unbelievable seminars. I don't know how familiar you are with a man named Dr. David Reese, but if you look him up, he's the guy that goes to Fortune 500 companies and gives seminars and motivational speeches and stuff on personalities and so forth and so on. And his fee is $15,000 a day. And David Reese happens to be a fan and a friend, and he said, I'm working on a thesis in a book on why you want to be a wrestler and why are you a wrestling fan. And he's been holding this last year, putting together this seminar. It's going to be two-hour seminars, and our seminars are free. Nobody's nickel and dimed to death to come to CAC. Everything is included. You know, and so you got this guy for 2 hours that you would pay, and I'm not exaggerating, a minimum of $150 to sit in the back row to hear him. We've got Ted DiBiase and Harley Race doing a seminar on how to get heat, and who would be better off for that, you know. Awesome Kong. A lot of people don't realize that Awesome Kong is a very educated young lady. It's a school teacher by trade, and she's doing a seminar, Life After Wrestling, for lady wrestlers. You know, so these are things that are all free, all part of it, you know. And so that's kind of how we got started, when the young wrestlers said, hey, you know, we want to learn from the legends, from the old-timers. Would they be willing to give us the time of day? And I think the young wrestlers come, and they're amazed at just how much the people that have been around for a long time, you know, I've been around since 1946, are willing to share their early knowledge. And so that's how it came about.
You just mentioned a couple of greats in wrestling. Can you fill us in on exactly what it's been like to interact with some of the great legends in wrestling, and maybe give us a couple of stories about hearing with some of the legends?
Well, I mean, it's just like if you were going to be invited to a party at someone's home, or a dinner, or a function that wasn't a function that were. You were an outsider, so to speak, because we don't have outsiders. Once you become a member of the club and pick up that badge, you're one of the family, so to speak. We don't have stars at our promotion. Nick Bockwinkel, the president, is as down to earth and easy going as the young boy that just come in for the first time or the kid at his first match. And so it's really kind of hard to describe, but if you were there, if you walked up to Nick and said, hi, Mr. Bockwinkel, I'm here for the first time. You'd say, well, first of all, don't call me Mr. The name's Nick. And,
wow.
What you have a question, what can I do for you? And, you know, another guy that's unbelievable, I'm sure you heard of Danny Hodge.
Oh, yeah.
When Danny Hodge is there, he will be there this year. These young guys, they don't realize that even at Danny's age, there's very few guys that could hold their own with him. And he literally gets down on the carpet and shows these guys moves they've never dreamed of learning. We're talking about amateur-style submission wrestling.
Dan Devin
will be there this year, too. He'll do the same thing. Kid comes up and say, hey, I watched this here on TV, and I seen this move. How do you go about doing it? Dan will take him right down and show him.
Oh, God.
It's not like these guys are big shots standing in the background, and you got to pay so much to get their autograph. When they go to a fan fest, they're being paid to smile, sit behind a table, and sign books or whatever you want. Here, it's a reunion. It's not a fan fest. And so the guys come for the first time. Very rarely do they miss not coming back.
Wow. 888-357-9876, option one is the way to join us here to talk. Carl Lauer, if you got any questions as a fan that you're going, yeah, I want to go to this Cauliflower Alley thing. CauliflowerAlleyClub.org is the website. Talk to us about, this year's got some interesting honorees. Talk about how these honorees came to be. How this selection process went on.
Our honorees are not easily selected. I mean, it takes a board action of 27 people to be unanimous for someone to be honored. And these people are their peers, people that are wrestlers and been around a long time and so forth. And each status of honoree has a requirement. In other words, there is a prerequisite to receive a certain award. And for example, where it was our highest award, and even Mike Mazurki, named after Mike Mazurki. When you hear Vince McMahon refer to the Cauliflower Alley Club, he always uses the word the prestigious Cauliflower Alley Club, because our club's not only 45 years old, and you don't last that long if you're not doing something right, but because we are independent. The WWE, the AWA, the NWA, the TNA, and every other group since then and going and coming, no one controls the Cauliflower Alley Club except our board of directors. So, to give you an example, like the Iron Mike Award, that's sort of the highest award. That's named after Mike Mazurki. And to receive the Iron Mike Award, first of all, you have to have had a successful career spanning more than 20 years in wrestling or boxing or movies. you have to be immediately recognizable. That's the little thing that was thrown in there to where when you see this guy or gal walking down the street, you know they are somebody. You may not know the name right away, but you know they're somebody. And third and most important, you have to be a benevolent person, one that gives a lot more than they take. And so our Iron Mike honorees, and not a lot of guys qualify for that, particularly in the last two categories. And this year that Iron Mike honoree is Ted DiBiase.
Wow.
Who meets or exceeds all of them requirements. You know, another honoree that received the Iron Mike Award, Professor Tora Tanaka, Jim LaBelle, Bobby Heenan, Lou Thesz, Nick Bockwinkel. I'd have to get my list out because at my age, my memory's not that great.
You're okay. You're doing great.
But, you know, and so that's what the Lou Thesz, what the Iron Mike Award is. And then we have another one that is named after the number two. Everybody gets a membership number. The number two membership was a man named Art Abrams, who had my job before me. He literally was the Cauliflower Alley Club. He did everything. He wrote the newsletters. He printed the newsletters. He did the certificates. He took care of the money. He wrote the checks. He did everything. And I inherited his job. And Art Abrams was a man whose lifetime really set out someone that you said, man, I wish I could have half of his stamina and half of his ability, and that has really designated himself to be someone that you could always rely and count on, no matter how hard it is or what the chips were down. And this, your honoree, is Jim Ross.
Oh, wow.
And Jim and his wife, Jan, are coming, and he won't tell us who all of his surprise guests are, but you can be sure when he was here 2 years ago, he had Steve Austin and quite a few other guys with him. You know, so Jim Ross is receiving what we call our Lifetime Achievement Award, and it's a very prestigious award. And I've gotten to know Jim over the last few years, and He's a fantastic guy, and I tell people, if you've never met Jim Ross, you want to take a chance, shake his hand, and meet his wife, Jan. What a charming lady who, you can see why she's been such an inspiration to Jim.
8883, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I just want to let everybody know that if you've got questions for Carl Lauer, it's 888-357-9876. Option 1 is the number tonight because our normal board operator, Tim Stein, is taking a personal day to watch some hockey. Option 1, then you get to Sir Rockin'. This is Carl Lauer. If you ever had a question about Cauliflower Alley Club, he's the man to ask because he is probably someone, guys, that has probably forgotten more about the wrestling business than I'll ever know. And for fans that are sitting there going, this sounds like an amazing organization.
Oh yeah, well I mean, you want me to go through a few more awards?
Oh please, definitely. Go right ahead. I'm sorry I interrupted you.
Oh, that's no problem. But then our most award that goes with the total skill of pure wrestling. In other words, a guy that could get in there and hold his own with the best of anybody. It's called our Loose Ez Award. And in the past, that's been won by guys like Danny Hodge, Dan Gable. So it's not only all full-time professionals. But this year, the one to get that award is Dan Severn. And those that know Dan Severn's history, not only was he the very first UFC undisputed world champion, he also made his mark as the in WWE and as an NWA champion. And today he is still very active teaching and wrestling and fighting.
If I remember right, he held both the NWA world title belt and the UFC belt at the same time. I think he even appeared on a UFC pay-per-view with the NWA world title, but I may be wrong.
I believe you're right.
There's a man, if you've never met Dan Severn, it's worth the trip to Vegas just to shake his hand because one of the most gentle, humble men you'll ever meet who could probably whip his weight in any 3 men that stepped up to him, is Dan Severn. Again, a guy that's always willing to share his skill and talent. And then we have another international award, International Wrestling Award, and that's a wrestler that has wrestled in more than 20 countries. And that's not a lot of guys that can say that. And that became international stars and recognized worldwide, and this year it's Irish Pat Barrett, who has wrestled in 56 countries.
That's impressive.
In the States, you know, and Pat Barrett is just flying all the way in from Ireland just to receive this award. Now, one thing I do want to mention that the club has become so prestigious and these awards are considered important to those that get them. We do not pay for anybody to come. These wrestlers pay their own way, pay their own hotel bill. The only thing we give them is 2 free dinners. So to me, that is saying that the club really has earned the value and prestige if a guy's willing to pay $2,000 airfare to come from Ireland to receive a plaque.
That's amazing.
And that these other big-name superstars come in and pay their own way. We do comp their meals. And the reason that we do that is because, like I say, we're not a fan fest. We're not trying to be a moneymaker. We're a benevolent organization. Our funds that we have, our $25 a year dues, pays for our newsletters that we send out and phone calls and get well cards and money to go out. But because we established ourselves, we have a lot of pretty well-known wrestlers and movie stars that make some very nice contributions to the benevolent fund when we get down low on money. And so that's why the guys have no problem paying their way. And I think that, again, is extremely impressive that someone will pay their own way just to receive a well, they're not cheap plaques. They're beautiful crystal acrylic plaques, and they're very nice, but they're still not. A $2,000 plane ticket would buy an awful lot of them, let's put it that way. So
absolutely.
The value of the club. And these guys, I've never seen one of our awards up for sale on eBay yet.
I sure hope not. That'd be like putting your Super Bowl ring online. Speaking of someone that has been involved in Cauliflower Alley, and I'm bringing him up because I live in Florida currently, and he was a name here in the 60s, 70s, and had a very successful business here in Tampa. Talk about the legend that was Jack Briscoe. For fans that aren't aware of it, he passed away in February. And just
go with, you know, the involvement, his involvement in the organization and your memories as a fan and a promoter of Jack?
Well, first of all, we mentioned the very prestigious value of a Lou Fez Award, but Jack Briscoe was the third recipient of that. Lou Fez named five people before he died when he was ill. When we told him, Lou, we want to name an award after you, and he says, all right, but don't do it till after I'm gone, you know. And so we said, okay, and he said, I want to name the first five. And he named the first five. And I hope my memory doesn't fail me, but the first one was Dick Hutton, Danny Hodge, Jack Briscoe, Antonio Inoki, and I'm slipping on the fifth one.
That's okay.
One other one. I'll have to look it up, but there was five, and he named the first five, and Jack Briscoe was in the top five men that Lou Fez felt wrestlers that he would be proud to have an award and his name given to them. So that says a lot about Mr. Briscoe. And not to mention the fact that he was a favorite son of Oklahoma. I met Jack and got to know him fairly well through our club. I never knew him. He never worked for me in my promotions in California, because I don't think Jack ever came to California. He did, but it was after I either left or before I started.
You had promoted, if the research folks for our show did this right, and I apologize that I have a 17-month-old who likes to take the laptop and run around the house, so it's a little hard sometimes for me to get research. You actually promoted also in the, I believe it was the WLW that Harley Race eventually took over. Talk about, as someone that's been in the business, the territorial days, compared to, obviously now it's ridiculous, where you've got a worldwide conglomerate of WWE taking over. If you talk about just being a part of the territorial system, and in Nick Anthony and I have had this discussion before, it's never gotten heated. It's more just like a simple debate of, would you like to see something like that now, where if you didn't go, not going down here to FCW in Florida or Ohio Valley Wrestling, would you like, as a fan and someone that's been involved in wrestling for years, to see some sort of nationwide territorial program set up for current talent?
Oh, I would love to see a version of the territories come back again. And I've been an opponent, an exponent of that. In other words, wanting it. I guess my English may not be the greatest, but for years. And even when I promoted in Los Angeles, and people had a thing to trying to get rid of the Athletic Commission in California. I was one of two promoters that did not want to see the commission disbanded, mainly because the commission served a good purpose, and that was to make sure that we always got a fair count at the box office, and that my wrestlers had met and exceeded and were licensed properly, and the wrestlers got a fair shake that I would pay them, that if I didn't pay them, there was a bond for them to go to the commission and collect the money. And the venue got a fair shake that if I advertised Joe Smith was going to wrestle, if Joe didn't show up, I had to do a disclaimer and refund the money. So the commission served a valuable purpose to protect the wrestler, the promoter, and the venue. But people wanted to get rid of the commission because they were bitching about the 5% tax. And to me, it was a cheap form of insurance. But I was NWA when I first started promoting. Gory and I had four towns for the NWA, with San Pedro, California, Oxnard, California, Oceanside, California, and Santa Ana, California. And later on, a few years later, we took over the Olympic Auditorium when Vince came in and bought out Mike LaBelle, who was the main promoter, who we booked a lot of our talent through, and we were also training our own at the same time. And at that time, I switched to AAA and became the first promoter to be 100% Lucha Libre Mexican wrestling. And we brought in the real guys. We brought in the real Gil El Santo, the real Blue Demon, the real Negro Casas, the real Porkies, the real real guys, you know, the La Parkas, real wrestlers. We didn't bring in ringers from East L.A. and call them that. We paid for the beach and brought the real guys in. And I tried to establish two or three other guys to to set up a promotion like in San Jose or San Francisco, maybe in Bakersfield, San Diego, where I could bring the guys in and the boys would come in and work four nights. And this would save a great deal of money, not only for me, because I'm paying all the trance, but now it'd be divided four ways. And the boys that would come in, where I had to pay El Santo, I won't say the real amount, but say round figures, $2,000, if he could get four nights, he'd probably work for $1,500 a night. You know, so, and them aren't real figures, them are just talking now.
Right.
And so I've always agreed with territories. And even when I started the WLW here in Springfield, Missouri, when I moved from California and bought my cattle ranch here, a guy named Dave Marquez approached me and wanted to, he knew my...
Oh, I know David.
You know Dave, well, he knew my reputation in California and Las Vegas and Hawaii, and he said he wanted to start wrestling up. And I really wasn't too interested until he told me he had America Online TV and had a complete program in place. And so I called Harley up and asked Harley if he wanted to be a booker again, and if he would be interested. And I called Gordon Soley up, and Gordon said, hey, yeah, I'd love to come to Missouri. I love the Ozarks, and I'll be glad to do the show. And we all work on a percentage. And so everybody had a percentage. And we ran for about a year and a half, almost 2 years. And then I ended up having a little heart surgery. And so, and then the state of Missouri offered me the job as commissioner for boxing, wrestling, and martial arts. And so, I said, well, that's a lot easier than promoting wrestling.
Hello?
So I told Harley that I'm going to close up the promotion.
Okay.
And Harley said, well, I'd sure love to take it over. So long story short, World League Wrestling became World League Wrestling, and Harley's had it for 10 years now, and I've been a state commissioner for 10 years.
We're about to have to be letting you go here in just a second, Carl, but before you do, can you, for anybody who's planning on making a trip out to Las Vegas for the CAC, could you please give us the admission and maybe the list of events?
Okay, real quickly, it's the Gold Coast Hotel. Room rates, believe it or not, $36, and it's a very nice hotel. It's a four-star hotel, and the toll-free number is 888.
Yeah.
402-6278. We start Monday, the 19th, with what we call the Scalds Affair, and all the guys are there to meet and greet everybody, and again, there's no charge. The flat fee for everything is $100, and that includes two complete dinners, as well as all the seminars, the Nostalgia Fair, and all the events, other little side things going on. Monday night is a hospitality night, meet and greet type thing, telling stories, road stories, comedy, picking on everybody in the audience, just having a good time. And Tuesday's a bologna blowout, all you can eat, New York style deli, and there's awards that night, and then the Hall of Fame like awards are Wednesday night, which is a steak and shrimp served dinner, and all of the honorees I didn't mention earlier include Joyce Grable, Magic Schwartz, Rip Hawk, Roger Kirby, Dean Ho. Them are the additional ones, plus Fast and Advanced to that, and Vince Fahey. So them are the other honorees. And it all happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, April 19, 20, and 21. And I would encourage people, if you want to come, get hold of me. Either go to the website or our email, which is on the website, cac009@embarkmail.com, because I am going to be ordering the badges actually tomorrow, but I will be able to take orders up through next Tuesday, and then that's kind of a cutoff. And if you show up, then we'll make every effort to get you in, but we can't promise. We are a certain amount of walk-ups, but the hotel office cries about that. Did I get it all in?
Absolutely. That was wonderful. Carl Lauer, thank you so much for joining us here on OWW Radio. I know Aaron had a blast with these two interviews.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I believe we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come out with my segment, Match of the Week. So this is OWW Radio, and don't go away.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. ClickWrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 the purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the indie scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're upset whenever they wrestle, head on over to www.onlinepro-wrestling.com. News, news, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Vince
Foley,
plus the most definitive sports for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best known internet wrestling stars today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site for pros you. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
All right, we are back on OWW Radio, and if you're just tuning in, then you've missed two great interviews. I mean, you missed Sir Oliver Humperdinck and just then Carl Lauer of the CAC. But right now, we're going to go to Match of the Week.
OWW Radio.
All right, if you have any questions or comments, then you can send them to radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. All right, let's get into it. Monday Night Raw last week had a very interesting match that involved not one, but two managers in Bret Hart and Natalya. Now, I was sitting there going, I hope they capitalize on Bret Hart as a manager, but it really seems like he's buried all hatchets, and, I mean, we all love the Hitman, so this added some pretty good psychology to the match. Also, this could be the beginning of a long-awaited Hart Dynasty push. It seems like the arrival of the team, I mean, not talking about DH and Tyson separately, they've been teasing us with small contenders matches and losses and a couple of wins, too. I mean, could this be the opening of opportunity we have all been waiting for? I know I really hope so. Last in this match, I have noticed some serious psychology with the Unified Tag Team Champions. If you noticed, it's like Big Show was trying to be the old veteran of the group and was playing like the wise guy who did everything that made sense. The Miz is, of course, the young idiot who doesn't think twice about grabbing the bag of gold and triggers the long array of booby traps. So the match was pretty good, and the ending sets up for another match, or at least I think it ought to. Alan, do you have any thoughts on that match?
I can't stand Miz, so it'd be like wasting my breath talking about him. I gotta agree with you. I was sitting there going, wow, Bret Hart, cool, way to transition. We're winning the belts tonight. Awesome. The hell's he going? Okay, Big Show's dragging him out. And yeah. It was one of those, I guess maybe they're going, Aaron, with the angle of Mrs. Mouth is going to write one too many checks, and Big Show is the one that's going to pull them in. And who knows? Your thoughts. This is your segment, dude. Why the hell am I talking?
All right, then, on that note, we'll go on down to TNA Impact, and it was Rob Van Dam, Jeff Hardy, and Eric Young against, I guess we can call them the Wolfpack version 2. But before I get into this match, I must say it was not Brett and Owen, Eddie and JBL. It wasn't even a Triple H and Mankind match. That it just was not such a great steel cage match. While they came out on the show and announced the match for that night and didn't promote it and made it, the last 10 minutes of the broadcast is beyond me because they had no time and frankly the only good spot was the finish. Now, if you go back, I just mentioned that it was not one of the greater cage matches. I mean, it just... I'm not completely blowing this match up. It was a good match, or else it wouldn't be on.
Oh, blow it up, dude. Blow it up.
No. Listen, it had a great finish. I don't know if you caught the finish or not, but...
Unfortunately, I did.
You did?
Unfortunately, I did, sir.
Hold on now. I mean, I think they can have a pretty good little tag team run with Rob Van Dam and Jeff Hardy, because it seems like they have great psychology together.
And they'd be the most relaxed tag team in the history of wrestling, man.
Well, you know.
I'm sorry, I'll go there. Nick's not here to do it, but I'll go there, man. They'll be the most toned-down tag team in wrestling history.
Well, I guess it's working out for them because I thought they did pretty good. You know, Jeff and RVD go up and hit stereo finishers, and EY goes up to the top and hits a ginormous elbow, as Taz would say. The finish alone probably got the spot as a runner-up on Match of the Week.
Was it vintage?
It was vintage. I think it was.
I'm sorry. I love this. You got to go with
one more point I have to bring up.
Go ahead.
Well, one more thing I have to bring up about this match is, did we underestimate Eric Young? Because Eric Young, he really opened up my eyes in this match. And we had Johnny Devine on last week, and he said that Eric is one of the best workers that he's been around, and if anybody deserved a push, it was him. So, what are your thoughts on this, fans? If you disagree with what I'm saying right now, then you can always call in. The number's there. But right now, I guess we're going to go on down to Match of the Week. It was AJ Styles versus Jeff Jarrett. And, Alan, before I even get into this thing, you were there for the few classic matches that AJ and Jeff Jarrett had. What is like? Can you just feel in the atmosphere that this is something special?
It all depended who the champ was, because a couple times I saw the matches, one of them I saw in person was AJ winning the belt. Mm-hmm. And then one was Jeff. It all depended on who was the heel, who was the face, because this match has gone on with both of them heel and face, just like Abyss and AJ Styles has been done now as a heel and a face match. So anytime you get these guys in the ring, especially a feud with a history, dude, because these guys have gone at it back in the Asylum, the TNA seems to forget, by the way, you ran for 2 years in Nashville, kids, but hey, why acknowledge that? But once again, this is your segment. Why am I talking, man?
You're owning.
Be the owner. I feel like I'm doing a motivational speech here. Sorry.
Well, I mean, you just hit on a couple of my notes there. It was an old rivalry revisited. The roles have been reversed and different approaches. I mean, I'm not sure if you were there for this one, but it was one of the matches, and it had Tito Ortiz as a special enforcer. I mean, that just shows you how much of a different approach they go after with these two.
Yeah, because they had a referee who was taller than both of them.
Yeah, and I think that going with a different approach each time can only make it better. And speaking of making things better, one of the other approaches that they had with this match was Hulk Hogan trying to make it right with Jeff Jarrett, because Eric Bischoff has been playing the role of the bully kind of on Jeff Jarrett. And Hogan wanted to make things right and even gave Jeff his music back, his pyro and everything. So, and he went right out there with the World Heavyweight Champion. So could this mean a possible Jeff Jarrett push? They've got him set to be in lethal lockdown, so we'll have to see how that plays out. Now, on down to some of the spots in the match. First came what I thought should have been the finish of the match, a second rope stroke, Jeff Jarrett's finisher move. Now, I'm not sure if he's ever done something like that before, but the stroke is a pretty devastating looking move. So I think something that big, it should have been the end of the match right there, but they interrupted it with the Eric Bischoff run-in, and Jeff Jarrett grabbed the guitar and thought, hey, here we go, well, I'm going to hit you again. And so that gave AJ Styles the clear view to get in a low blow and cut his hand in the process on the guitar, and he hit the Styles Clash for the finish, and so that is your match of the week.
Tell them the website stuff, dude, because you got your own page, man. You're awesome.
Yeah, we have Match of the Week on WTR. It's a weekly column, and I've been kind of slacking off for the past couple of weeks, but we got it back up this week, so check us out. And be sure and send in your questions and comments to, as I said, radio@onlineworldwrestling.com, or if you're a Genesis member, you can private message me.
He's super cool, man. He's Aaron Kendrick, and if you're just joining us and you're going, man, he's real professional. He is! He's awesome! And he's going to get back in on a conversation that we were having earlier, which kind of stunk to go off on a tangent there, because we had Four Horsemen for Life on. But I want to go back to something in the final minutes here, which is basically a topic that came up on a couple of the other message boards that I frequent besides OWW Genesis, which is, as Nick says in the thing, the gold standard of wrestling. I got to witness, before he even became a WWE superstar, some guy named Jake Hager. You do know him as Jack Swagger. And everything that they tout him as is true. He is a legit All-American in football and an All-American in wrestling. And we're going to bring some callers in on this. We're going to bring Spug in. Spug's part of the WrestleTalk Live show, which is on this network on Sunday nights at 10 o'clock, depending on if they have a pay-per-view that Sunday. And this came up with a lot of people, and Aaron brought it up, and Nick and I were talking about it on the phone, and some other people were talking about it on the phone this past whole weekend, that they were just going like, okay, wait a minute. He hasn't even been on the roster for a year. He won the ECW belt, then they took it away from him, then he goes away. And yes, I'm getting somewhere with all those fans. This is a circular thing, trust me, I know where I'm going. And then all of a sudden, it was just like, okay, he's one of the 605 guys in Money in the Bank. And as Aaron had mentioned last week, he was in the match. If you were blinking, you saw him. And then all of a sudden, Monday Night Raw, I'm going to save it. And like a lot of us, I'm sure all of us were sitting there going, all right, SummerSlam, he'll do it. Maybe whatever the November pay-per-view is. Did anybody honestly think that two nights, technically five nights after WrestleMania, Jack Swagger is the new World Heavyweight Champion? Spug, you there, my man?
First of all, it's Wrestle Talk Radio.
I get the name wrong, and Tim yells at me every time, and I'm sorry. I'll take my 10 lashes from the licorice whip. Go ahead, sir.
First of all, did you see Raw Monday night?
Unfortunately, yeah.
All right. Was it just me, or did Jack Swagger look lost, confused, and scared when John Cena was in there for that opening promo?
Yeah, he reminded me of, I'm going to go old school on this, because I was at the event when it happened. It was a SummerSlam in Madison Square Garden. It was the night that Bret Hart beat Mr. Perfect for the Intercontinental title. And part of that semi-main event was Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, who held the WWE up for money, versus Slaughter, Mustafa, and the Iron Sheik.
And it was Sid Justice, actually Sid Vicious. And I was before 14, 15 at the time, and my dad had taken me to this show. And this flashed in my head immediately. Was my dad said, when Hogan hit the ring, and go back and find it on YouTube or find it on the WWE 24/7 channel, Sid just looked like, the look on Hager's face, I'm sorry, Swagger, I want to call him Hager because that's, the Swagger name just feels weird. Obviously,
right.
It's a copyrighted name. But he just had this, Sid Vicious just had this look. My dad said that when Hogan hit the ring, it's just like, he doesn't know what the hell to do. I was like, what do you mean, Dad? I said, look at Sid. He's just standing there going, yeah. And my wife watched part of it with me. She'll watch the Raw part with me. And she had seen Jake Hager at FCW events with my daughter and I. And she just sat there and said, what the hell happened to the confident guy we saw at all these FCW shows? Was it in the writing fans? Was it he was meant to look like that? Because it almost looked like I wanted to yell at the screen and go, wake up, Jack. You got Marky Mark and his funny little spin-a-rooney belt in front of you, and you look like you need some no-dos, man, like you're flying 16 hours in a plane.
Well, thankfully, that belt doesn't spin anymore.
Oh, I hope not.
It doesn't. And second of all, the look on his face was not of, I don't know what to do. It literally looked like he didn't belong there, and he was getting shot on and
let me shut down my other one.
The ring.
Oh, goodness. We got people talking all over the place here. Yeah, I'm sorry, Spog. Go right ahead. Did we lose Spug?
Spug.
It looks like we did lose Spug, but his...
We got another caller.
Yeah, we got another caller, and I think it might be the one and only Mace joining us. Mace, is that you, my man? Hello, caller. Welcome to OWW Radio. This is Alan. That's Aaron. And you're Tony. How are you, Tony? Welcome to OWW Radio.
Yeah, I'm sorry. God, I must have cut your host off by accident.
That's
I'm
okay. Spug's doing fine. Go right ahead, sir. Welcome to OWW Radio.
Yeah, I'm out here in San Jose, California, and like I said, I was typing in there online that I used to be a TV cameraman for APW and BTW out here in my, you know, right up, you know, like 30, 40 minutes from my town here. In the Hayward and Fremont area.
Okay. Did you have a question for us or a comment for us on the program?
Yeah, I like the show and keep up the good work there. And hopefully we can talk, you know, hopefully we can talk after the show. I'll send you guys some email or something like that, too.
That'd be wonderful. Are you a fan of the current WWE and TNA product, or do you not watch the business at all right now?
Yeah, I watch it, yeah. I still watch it at times. Right now I'm watching NXT. I just turned on the last 20, 25 minutes of it here.
And my condolences to you. They were doing a beer-carrying thing. It almost reminded me of Crusher and Bruiser AWA style, except they weren't carrying it like Crusher and Bruiser used to back in the day. What are your thoughts of someone of being watching the product? Are you sitting there going, this guy, Hager, it was Swagger, he kind of reminds me of a Kurt Angle and a Briscoe with the amateur thing. Or are you sitting there going, why in God's name did they take the belt off Jericho? He was hot, it was all set, let's go with Jericho and Edge to the next pay-per-view.
Yeah, I've been watching, like you said, Jack Swagger there, and yeah, he is kind of like a Kurt Angle. Kind of like a product, you know.
All right, 888-357-9976, option 1, and you can Skype in with us. I believe it's WTR_Sunday_night. I could be wrong. Anything else for us, sir?
No, I guess that's it. And I'm sorry you accidentally had to cut off your friend there.
No, that's quite all right.
Not fine.
He's okay. He's a part of the show that comes on after us, too, so he's totally fine with it. Tell you what, you can call back in anytime you want. We're here every Tuesday night, 9 to 11, and you can actually, if you have an email address, you can give it to us, and we'll have our producers, Scott and Corey, get in touch with you.
All right. Sure.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Thanks for calling in.
Spug, are you back?
Heck.
Spug is back. Yeah, now you, I mean, are you a fan of sitting there going, what? You got Jericho, you got Edge, you had a kick-ass WrestleMania match. And I'm sorry I said ass, but it's late at night. The sensor button's kind of off on my brain. are you sitting there going, what the hell is going on here? Or are you sitting there going, I'm intrigued by this. Now you got Swagger Jericho, or do you have Swagger Jericho and Edge? What are your thoughts on all this?
First of all, I don't know why you take the belt off of Jericho and put it on Swagger. To cash that in that early made absolutely no damn sense whatsoever, especially coming off of the Mania main event. And when you look at it, I honestly don't think Swagger is ready. I don't think he's ready at all. He looks a little lost in the ring at times. He looks scared. He looks as if he does not know what to do in certain situations. And if you're gonna put the company on that guy's shoulders and you're gonna make him the guy, then you had better be damn sure that he's going to be able to carry you.
Now, do you think that decision, I'm sorry to cut you off there, but I just wanted to bring this point up real quick before I dropped it. Is that a Vince McMahon decision, or is that a Stephanie decision, or how does, as a fan, obviously we're kind of in the business, but we're not super duper ridiculous insiders sitting outside Vinnie Mac's office going, you got anything for me, boss? I mean, there's like 20 writers up there last time I checked with two different TV shows. So, I mean, there's a history of them hot-shotting people, but this just seems a little weird. Are you thinking, I mean, because he came out of, we just mentioned it, and Aaron brought it up last week when we were talking Mania. He wasn't hardly a part of Money in the Bank. He was there for a couple spots, and then next thing you know, I got the briefcase. Obviously, this is a hot-shotting thing, or are we missing stuff in house shows? Is he, like, kicking ass on a house show somewhere, and we missed it?
I've not been to a house show in a very long time, and I don't know. I don't know, because he's so irrelevant elsewhere. I mean, he's 100% irrelevant anywhere else. The last big angle he was in was at Royal Rumble, and it was with Santino Marella in the All-American Challenge.
That's right. You know? He was like, I'm battle royaling that. I'm going to throw people over. Oh, wait, no, I'm not. Yes, I am. I lose to the unibrow. I'm amazed the feds never called him the unibrow. That would have been, unless they can't get the copyright from Mike Myers for that.
You know, I don't know what happened with the Swagger thing. I don't know why he is. Sorry, I didn't want to cough into my mic. I don't know why he is all of a sudden in the main event spot. I don't think he needs to be or deserves to be there. You look at how it all came about so rather quickly, and you look at the end of the Money in the Bank ladder match, it was almost as if that was a botch, you know, that it wasn't supposed to end that way.
I believe it. I was at a restaurant here in the Tampa Bay area, and there were fans that were just, their jaws hanging, going, wait, what?
Exactly. It was almost like a, what? Wait, how? So I think maybe down the line we might see WWE kind of try to rectify it. So, I don't know. I'm not entirely worried about it, but he's not ready. He's not ready at all.
I agree.
And
well, if you think we're stupid fans, 888-357-9876, option 1 is the way to join us, or WTR_Sunday_night, We've got Spug from a very cool Sunday night show that's also a part of the, we're part of their production group and everything, and we're talking Jack Swagger, the new world heavyweight champion. Let us know, are you thinking the same thing that we are? Are you sitting there going, cool, Jack Swagger, the champ, whose ring introduction went from, I got pyro, I do push-up Scott Steiner style, look, I'm the old American-American. Next thing you know, he came walking out and he had a look. You talked about his pre-match promo with Cena. You know, talk about, he walked to the ring kind of going like, I don't want to be here. Send me back to FCW. Please.
He just looked lost. And, you know, speaking of that very cool wrestling show that I'm on Sunday nights, you guys got a good one going yourselves here on Tuesdays. But, it seems I have an arch nemesis on this network.
Uh-oh.
An arch nemesis? What is this, a comic book and I missed it somewhere, man?
Well, the Geek Show is next. But it seems I have an arch nemesis on this network.
Oh, okay. It's not me.
And his name would happen to be Nick Anthony.
Oh, dear God. Here we go.
So.
Excuse
me. In what should be extremely entertaining for our fans, I would like to invite Nick Anthony to Wrestle Talk Radio in the near future, and it'll be a special Wrestle Talk Radio. We'll sit down and we'll hash out the details of this, but it'll be on a special night and a special time. And Nick Anthony and I will go one-on-one in the Cyber Squared Circle in a great wrestling debate.
I just received a message about your challenge from Nick, and I can't very well repeat that on the air.
Oh, yeah, you can. It's 11 o'clock, dude. You can use your potty mouth if you want to.
All I can say is he ain't doing crap.
That's what he wrote. He didn't like you used any four valley pally. No sensor buttons being hit. Standing in practices isn't going, dude, you can't say that on the air. It's like, who cares? To quote Bob Uecker, who cares? Nobody's listening. We got plenty of people listening here. In the closing moments, I mean, is this a situation, Spug and Aaron, that, and Sir Rockin and Nick and anyone else is involved here, is this a transitional quick thing? Because that, you know, we'd rather him lose the, get Edge the belt back at Extreme Rules or whatever the next show is in a three-way dance, or is this Jericho going, no, I don't want to drop the belt to Edge. I'll drop it to this guy, and then I'll drop it to that guy. Is this a quick, is he a paper champ holding the belt, waiting until something goes on? I mean, what are you thinking here? Anyone, talk, please.
Bug, you're the caller.
Well, you're
oh,
the
it's
caller.
A, I was talking to Nick Anthony in the chat. No,
don't have a focus here, man.
I'm sorry. I just wanted.
He's here, but he's not here. He's the ghost of wrestling for the moment. He's here, he's not.
If he is a transitional champion, then they've done a really good job of making us all go, what the hell's going on here? And I hope he's a transitional champion because I don't think you can put the company on his shoulders for longer than a month or two stretch without it just absolutely falling apart. And lastly, before y'all boot me out of here, Nick, I don't hate you. I've never hated you. You're opinionated as all hell, and I love it. That's why I want to argue with you, because I can push buttons, and you'll push buttons back, and it'll be glorious.
All right, on that note, we'll see what we can do about that. I know I have an open invite from Tim and you guys, because I had a blast talking with you guys on the show, and it's a different format than what we do here, fans. So if you want to join the Spug and Tim Stein and all those fans, you can go to pitch the website, man, because I can never remember your website.
It's wildtalkradio.com, and WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, 10 p.m., or immediately following pay-per-views. And Nick, just think of it this way. Would Batman be what he is without the Joker?
Ooh. All right. On that note, we're going to list the rock and go. We appreciate that. We also want to thank, I personally want to thank Scott and Corey for helping me out, because I knew plenty about Sir Oliver Humperdinck, but last evening, like 11:30, they're going to me, so look at the format. We have this guy, a gentleman named Carl Lauer. And it's like, yeah, cool, I'll research him while I'm getting my car worked on. That totally didn't happen. So we want to thank them for being a part of this. I want to thank Aaron for being a part of this. And Aaron gets the cool, he gets music and everything to do this thing. And rumor about the campfire is, Aaron, the celebrities, the legends aren't stopping here. I heard a rumor, supposedly, that the legendary leader of the Four Horsemen, James J. Dillon, is possibly going to be on OWW Radio next week.
I believe we have him, as well as former AWA World Heavyweight Champion, Nick Bockwinkle.
Good God.
Tomorrow is going to be a bust here.
Oh, wow. All right, Aaron, take us home, my man.
All right. First off, before I get into anything, Tony, we want to thank you for calling in, and courtesy of the All-American Canadian, Tim Stein, you have a free download on clickwrestle.com, so we will get with you on the contact information for that. So, let's get on into the long list of places where you can find us. You can find us on iTunes, ClickWrestle, wrestling-radio.com, Wild Talk Radio Networks, and our own site, onlineworldofwrestling.com. And we want to thank Oliver Humperdinck and Carl Lauer for being a part of the show. And thanks to our producers, Scott, Corey, Nick Anthony, who wasn't able to make it tonight, Alan Wojcik, I'm Aaron Kendrick, and this is OWW Radio.
Through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.